AFI. Backstage Stories.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another fantastic episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Our special guest today is Moritz Batschreiter. Say hi, Mo.
Hey, hey. I'm not that special, to be honest.
And as always, I'm your host, Jordan Prince, from right here in Munich. All right, play the song. Dude, I would love to talk about one topic. I just thought about it earlier. Birthdays in quarantine, or at least how the restrictions have loosened up quite a lot here in Germany. But okay, let's do this. Actually, everybody, Moritz Batschreiter, earlier this week, or was it last week?
It was Sunday, so last week.
It was Sunday. Just had a beautiful birthday amongst this strange world. He is now the ripe young age of 22. So happy birthday, Mo. I wish I could have celebrated it with you.
I wish we could have done that. We celebrated a great birthday or great birthdays last year. We got to do that at some other point. But thanks, mate.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell us, as much as you want, but a little bit about how you celebrated.
So I guess I'm not representative regarding how I celebrate my birthday for most people during Corona crisis, because I was lucky enough to have a flatmate who spends his whole summer in a hut. I don't know how to explain the whole thing in English. It's like basically like a little farm up in the Alps, where all the farmers from around the area bring their cattle to spend the summer there and to feed off the nice herbs and grass that grows up there in the Alps. And he spends his whole summer there, and he hooked me up. Hey, why don't you come, you and your girlfriend, come over? There's nobody here besides me. We have contact anyway. So let's celebrate, only the three of us out there, no internet. There is electricity, but you're completely out of civilization, and it was great. It's great scenery, mountains around you. We got absolutely hammered, had a great time, great conversations. Just enjoying a nice weekend on this hut out of civilization. So I guess I've been pretty lucky regarding on how the possibilities were to celebrate my birthday.
Oh, man. That sounds really nice, though. That sounds really pretty.
It has been, yes.
Like, it sounds like, kind of, despite the ways that you probably wish you could have done it, or like maybe invited, all your friends or, you know, whatever. But like, given the circumstances, I think it sounds really, really cool.
Yeah, it's, and I realized that pretty quickly how special this is during this situation or in this situation. And it was great. But yeah, obviously you wish you could have your party with more of your friends, etc. But I guess there will be a time when we can celebrate parties like this again. I'm still full of hope.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing I was thinking about too. I mean, it's a little bit selfish, but this year I turned 30, and that's a pretty huge milestone for most people.
Is it for you?
No matter where you live. Huh?
Is it a big thing for you? A big milestone?
Sometimes I wonder if it's actually a big milestone for me, or if I think it's a big milestone because I've been told that it is my whole life by so many people. But I think it should be kind of an important birthday because, you know, it's like, I don't want to think of it as like the death of your youth in a way. Like, you know, the people say the 20s is like the greatest decade of your whole life. And so far I would have to completely agree, but, I've loved my 20s and, but I don't think that like turning 30 necessarily means that, yes, of course you have to, you're getting to an age in general where, you know, your life settles down a bit more. You probably, you know, you're getting closer to the concept of getting married and having children and, you know, if you want these things and, you know, you're doing more, you know, what I would consider more adult themed things, which is like when you want to hang out, you schedule it in advance or you, you know, you work, or you think about like your taxes or you're thinking about like, you know, your insurance or your voting or even though you should always, you know what I mean? Like you should be doing that already. But in my head, I feel like I was always an extremely late bloomer with this kind of, this way of thinking, you know, like being an adult. And I wonder if, like getting to 30 will be, or maybe it should be like a line I draw for myself where it's like, okay, you can still be Jordan. You can still be silly and make fun of everything, but maybe there were responsibilities that you were, putting off in your 20s. You can't really put those off anymore. So I think it's important, but I don't think of it as much as, like the end of an era, but more of like the beginning of a fresh one. You know, going into adulthood is kind of its own really big adventure. And it's funny to think that going into 30 is like the new era of adulthood when, you know, just a few decades ago, like when you turned 18 or something, that was it. That was like, I don't think being 18 means adulthood really anymore. Or what do you think? I don't know. You're closer to that than I am now.
I always considered myself.
Does that make sense? Did it?
I always considered myself pretty weird regarding all those things, which might relate to the fact that I always hang out mostly with people who are older than me, basically like you.
Yeah.
So I got confronted with many stuff. From an older point of view, early on, since I was, I don't know, 13, 14, because many of my friends were basically 3 to 7, 8 years older, whatever. And sometimes I think because of the situation I'm in job-wise, etc., I had moments where I was like, because I have to think about things like, at an age of 22 now, like taxes, etc., stuff you mentioned, maybe let's take out the part about family, etc. That's not a point for me now, but all the most of the other adult stuff like taxes, insurances, whatever. And I find myself in situations where I think like, why do I have to do this? I'm 22. Can I just do this 10 years later?
Right. Or like, can't mom and dad keep doing this?
But then I guess, no, it's your life. You want to be an adult. So just get your shit together. And I think many people live through phases like this at many, many different, or varying points in their life. Because I know people who lived their life like they were 18 until they're 35. And I know people that want or have to live a super adult life, as we may consider it, from an age of 22 on.
Yeah, that's totally true. It's 100% about how you're raised and your circumstances and your perspective and your ideology and your religion and your wealth and your class and the location that you're born and stuff. It all contributes so much to that. And it's, I don't know, I feel like getting to 30 for me is this threshold kind of am I going to continue being a total child who pretends very well that he's an adult? Or do I want to actually cross that border and like actually be an adult person who can be childish? It's like such a fine line, but it is an important distinction. And I think, you know, certain friends and of course Ify and stuff have really helped me in the past few years see that difference and to try and be the try and be the better adult person, but, you know, because there are times when you have to step up your game and like be present and be that person for your partner or for your friends or for your family. And it was always very easy for me to play the role when it was needed, but to not take it seriously or to not let it, like to not let it sink in and become that thing and believe in that thing, but more to step into like a character's costume and like be that thing because I want to help somebody, but then step right back out of it, you know? And maybe around 30 is like kind of that choice in a way, which is funny because I mean, my parents, I think they had to be adults a long time before I would have, for example, my parents got married when my mom was 19 and my dad was 21. And if I think about, where I was when I was 21 or even, 19 at all, I was mentally nowhere near that kind of mentality. You know, I had just moved, I was going to college in New Orleans and I was experimenting and trying to meet people and, wanting to travel and taking road trips and staying up late and, you know, trying to do well in school and stuff and like experiencing college in this really great way. And I could never have imagined, having that sort of, I think it's a very mature choice, but also at the same time could have been too early for them. I'm not sure, but I can't imagine doing that now.
Maybe puts much pressure on people at a very early point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my mom tells me stories, about my dad's sort of rebellious, behavior those first few years of marriage before they had my brother. And I can totally see why. I mean, he was a kid, you know, and she needed him to be this like adult person that he is now, but at 21. And, you know, he maybe by marrying her made a promise in a sense that he would be that adult for her, but he just wasn't at the time. And I know that I still struggle with this idea going into 30. Imagine like being 21 and being married and you're like trying to get a house and you're, you know, working in a factory and thinking about kids. Like, man, it was just such a different time.
Yeah, of course. But I have the same thoughts because my mom was 21 when she got me and my dad was 24. And my dad was, I guess, 26 when he had to take over my grandfather's business.
Oh, wow.
And that's also a complete different situation I could not imagine myself being in at the moment.
No. I mean, imagine like, you know, you had to make a decision this week about the person you're dating, making like drawing a line and saying, there's like a pregnancy involved you have to make a decision about, or they want to get married or they don't want to be together, or you know, your job makes a decision about, you know, your career, maybe suggesting you to a position that's much higher than one that you feel ready for. But if you don't take it, you think that, you know, maybe they'll think you're not ready for anything, you know, like just these huge choices. I guess if you think of it like that, there really isn't a right age. You know, there's never like an age you get to where you're like, oh, now I know how to handle all of the things, you know?
Dude, in my opinion, there's not a right age for anything.
No, not at all. It's either you want it and you're afraid and you take the risk, or you don't, basically.
Yeah, and I think it's basically just such a ridiculous thing to think about, which are the parameters many people or different societies link expectations to a certain behavior or to a certain kind of level of adultness or whatever. You know what I mean? So when you think about different cultures, and I mean there have been cultures or are cultures where you're considered an adult from an age from 15 on or whatever, because you have to be and fulfill your role within this society. And in Western civilizations, it's another thing. And for me, growing up, and it's still a process for me, becoming an adult, I guess, even if I have to handle most of my everyday life in an adult, in adult circumstances or surroundings or whatever. But for me, growing up is mostly about realizing on how ridiculous many things are you think of as a child as are super complicated and so adult and whatever. And you get to a point, I have this basically like every week. I don't know, I have to think about a new insurance or whatever. And it's like, first in my head, it's a big thing. You're like, oh, I have never done this before. And realize, okay, you're a pretty young guy. I realized that again. And then I do those things. And I feel like, okay, and that is what it's all about.
Yeah, so right. Like
this. I thought about this as a big thing, and in the end, it's just like a basic decision. You could, or be in at any kind of age with 21 or 40, and it doesn't make that huge of a difference.
A lot of these, I think, a lot of these big companies that end up scaring people away is just, you know, it always boils down to they want money. You know, and that, like, everything you encounter from the moment that you start paying your own way is you realize that everything wants money, and you want money, and you're totally trapped by that system, and you want to, you know, live a certain way, and these grandiose sort of structures that you think your parents only know how to do when you're young. You're like, wow, they have a home, and they, you know, they have, I don't know, a car or two, or, you know, whatever. Like, you know, when you get old enough to appreciate the world you have, of course, you know, again, you and I are both lucky in this case, but to when you get to a certain point where you realize what your parents have set up, like the way they've done it, kind of feels like only they could do it, or like only adults can do that. And then it's funny how you get in your 20s and like all of a sudden these structures that they've always supported you with start coming after you. And it's like you said, you know, like you look at an insurance form, or in my case, like, I don't know, immigration forms or things with my bank, you know, and you think like, oh my God. You finish it and you're kind of exhausted, or maybe it was easy, or maybe you're stressed out, but then you just think, that's it. Like, that guy wants 1%, you know, this person wants my money. That's kind of what it comes down to. And like, doesn't make it easy at all. In fact, it's often very complicated for no reason, but, I don't know, man. Like, it's funny, but you think when you're a kid, you just think your parents are kind of superheroes or that they're geniuses or something, but they probably also just struggled and tried the hard way.
Obviously. Yeah, for sure. And for me, money is the most ridiculous parameter about whether you consider someone adult or not or whatever.
Because, oh God, yeah.
This now might sound a little bit weird, but with many people in my surrounding, might be job-wise or, I don't know, friends, many different people who are maybe like, I don't know, people that are 10 years older than me or 15 years older. And I have longer conversations with them. And afterwards, I reflect about it and I think, okay, what makes this person different from me being 15 years older? And obviously, in many situations like jobs, etc., you have situations where you listen to someone 10 years older than you and you hear, okay, one factor is that he basically got 10 years more of experience in this job. But you can always break that down to situations, because this does not mean this person has more experience in, I don't know, paragliding, whatever, or anything else. Right.
Just because they're older doesn't mean that they're just better at all things.
Exactly. And when I think about those situations, you have those few factors where you realize, okay, I see this person has more experience because they're older, but mostly I get to one factor, and that is money. Because often those are people who've worked longer or worked themselves to a certain level. And those are people who are thinking, I'm talking to a colleague of mine who's 15 years older. He tells me they're thinking about buying a house. And that's something I could basically not imagine.
Same.
So
100%,
one thing that differs many, many people, many adult people, is just a budget. Because I think, okay, that's a difference. Maybe I'm at this point in 15 years. And I also think about these things of buying a car or whatever. And then I'm like, okay, but it could also be that I will not earn that more money when I'm 35 or 40, and it's still not a thing for me. So money for me is the most ridiculous parameter to link to adulthood or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have this totally naive thought that even as we're discussing this, I know it sounds dumb and I know that it's wrong, but for some reason I still can't get it out of my head. And that's very similar to what you just said, which is like, I have this really dumb notion in my head that people that are older than me, at least by 10 years, and even better if they're older than that, that people of that age just have more money.
Yeah.
You know, even if they, like, I have friends who work in music, who work in film, or who work in like more, non-artistic industries, who are, you know, 10, 15, 20 years older than me. And like some of them, I know a couple of them, you know, of course make a little bit more money than me based on like, you know, a few more years of experience, but it's not as if they have like a lot of disposable income after paying their bills. Like, but still, it's so, like, I see how these friends live and I talk to them a lot and I know what their life is like. And still, I'm so dumb. Still, I can't get it out of my head that, like, oh, if I really think about it, they're like better off because they're older. And like, it's just this dumb idea that one day you'll get older and then your job will just pay more. It's so wrong. It's so naive. And I know it's not true.
It's just, because and then you think about, okay, but do I consider them like more adult because they have money and I wish that I will be in the same situation in 15 years, or is this not the fact and I just do it because my society I live in does it? Because just because you consider someone more adult because he's thinking about a family and having a house because he has the budget doesn't necessarily say, okay, I have to achieve the same things.
Right.
Or I even want that.
Yeah, do I even want that? Yeah, you see what your older friends do and you see the path they take, and it's so funny, like we fall into these patterns of expectation and you kind of assume that what they're doing is the thing that you will definitely be doing, but it could all change any day, but we keep following it. It's kind of funny. Like, I guess it boils down to, I mean, this also kind of spreads into a more difficult topic in a way, but just like human nature and human needs. And it's funny that, you know, the majority of people, as they get older, they want to have a family, you know, they want to spread their genetics, and they, not to get too Joe Rogan on anybody here, but you know, these animals want to spread their cells and, you know, survive. And, you know, you want to have shelter and you want to be able to feed your children so they can grow up and they can have children. And that's not, of course, that's not for everybody, especially nowadays. I think that line is very blurry about what people really want and how they define themselves. And I think that's going to make for a very interesting world and, you know, the next generation or two. But in general, that's the kind of traditional pattern. And you see people doing it, And then you see yourself following in a path behind them that's very similar. But just, you know, it's funny, like you see them do it and you kind of subconsciously think that's the right way. They must be making more money. They're so adult that they have a bigger house and they have, you know, one kid, two kids, whatever. And you, it's funny, this thing in your head of like, that's what you're supposed to do and they must be doing it right and they seem happy. And, but it doesn't mean that that has to be your path. And it doesn't mean that that's the way, even if you want it, that doesn't mean that's going to work out that way. And I think I know I forget that all the time.
Yeah. And for me, it's super important to make a difference at some point, because I know when I deeply ask myself, I know for me that at some point I want to have a family.
Yeah. And just to be clear, I do too.
Just, you know? I know it's within us as animals, but even when I deeply think about what I like or what my plans are, this is one of them, just because I want to. That maybe has something to do with the fact that I absolutely love children, because I grew up with very younger siblings, or siblings that are years younger than me. But that still doesn't mean that when I talk to someone who lives in this situation, who has a happy family or whatever, makes it interesting for me to achieve the same things he or she did. Because we have one thing in common that I want to have and this person already has, but you still have so many other things like, okay, but do I want to live it this way because it is linked to a certain job or a certain mindset or whatever? So it's just, we just share the fact that we both like having a family. And it's still interesting to listen to those people. Or it's not just maybe families, even, I don't know, in your situation, or maybe also mine, regarding our interests, listening to an older, maybe successful musician is super interesting because you can learn things
totally
from him.
Totally.
But, and that's the same thing, but it's just one interest. It doesn't mean just because you're listening to Keith Richards because he's an amazing musician, doesn't mean you also have to agree with his lifestyle and his drug habits or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
Totally not. Of course. And that's the same thing for me when I find it often more interesting to talk to people who are older than me, let's say from 30 on, could be, I don't know, a person being 35 or a person being 57, whatever. I find it more interesting to talk to people who do things I could never imagine to do.
Like what, for example?
Like people having a job I could never imagine to work in for 30 years like they did or do, or living in a certain kind of relationship or living in a certain place or whatever. Just for me, it's get interesting where interests
it's interesting for you to see friends of yours who are older living a path that you don't want to live?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say it's more interesting for me to talk to someone like we already have, like Mark, who is, I guess, 46 or 47 now, and who's a drummer and who works in a music store.
43.
Sorry, Mark. And works
okay.
in
no, no, no,
works in
no.
a music store and has his story and his life. And we don't have to go too much into detail. But the first point we are different, I could never imagine working in a music store. This is not meant disrespectful or something, but it's just selling anything. It just would not be my thing.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes it's more interesting for me to talking to people like this who do something completely else and have completely different interests than, I don't know, talking to someone who's a journalist and who maybe has this one job I could imagine or would love to have in 10 years. Because I could still learn from this kind of person a lot of things regarding my profession, but you're still stuck in your bubble, and those people who do what you already imagine to do are always repeat the same things, and you hear the same things over and over and over. And I guess at some point it gets boring. So for me, it's super interesting to listen to people who have a complete different mindset, who have a job I could never imagine to do or whatever.
I would say that's a very good point. I think it's like, if you're trying to learn, you know, for yourself, what kind of path you want to take and what kind of life you want to live, that, you know, there's no better way to gain that knowledge or that wisdom than to just ask, either befriend or ask people who are older than you, who work in a variety of different fields, and hear about their, you know, their successes and things they're proud of, and to also hear about their failures and things they regret and things that they wish they would have learned. And I think that's a really good point. You know, this whole kind of fear threshold thing of crossing into 30, it's not even really fear. It's, you know, I mean, like, that's not the point. The point is just, I'm very thankful for this handful of friends who are in their 40s, because I've had so many questions along the way, especially since I've moved here, about how certain things work, you know, not just bureaucracy or, you know, the nitty gritty of like certain kinds of musical contracts. And though I have had to ask these kinds of friends over and over how these things work, but also asking, you know, I also want a family, and I also, you know, got married. And I think about, you know, how many times I've discussed with these people, you know, my, at the time, like, you know, doubts or concerns or my excitement or whatever with like bigger life decisions, and how they've all, you know, maybe on certain topics had the same sort of response to it, or they had very, very different ones. And it's interesting to see, like, okay, maybe this friend had a relationship for a long time, and maybe it didn't work, and maybe it was about children, or maybe it was about money, and what they would have changed, or if they would have changed anything, and what I can learn from that, as opposed to, you know, another friend who works in music, makes a comfortable living. How do they do it? Do they really enjoy this department of the music industry that they're working in? Do they wish they would have been, like, you know, on the road, for example, or, you know, are they happy with the family and the world that they've built around themselves? And, you know, this balance of, you know, okay, there's these different ways that I could take it, and which one appeals to me more. And I think it helps you define for yourself a clearer picture of your own future. And it's kind of like you're, you know, painting on a canvas the future that you want, and the best kind of paint, the finest paint you can use, comes from your older friends who come in a variety of different colors.
Yeah, and that's the point. I didn't want to say you should not listen to older people who want to help you with something or tell you something, because they...
No, I was saying you said that. I think you said the right thing, like that you should talk to them.
But that's the part, because I am very thankful when people like my parents or whoever just help me out or answer my questions to a certain topic that comes along my way. I have not been... I not had to handle before, or situations or whatever. But that does not mean I have to live the same way that has led those people to their point of happiness, success, whatever. And that's something where I learn more from people where I who I listen to, who can help me in a certain situation, but where it's clear for me, okay, besides that, I know I don't want to be like them in this point and at this point and this point, and to leave that out.
Yeah. You know,
because I think you can learn something from any person you meet, may it be one little fact about something or a little help here or a year-long good relationship.
I think one thing for sure about getting older is that you find out more easily and more quickly what kind of people you want to surround yourself with. I think throughout college and, you know, when I was younger and stuff, I still do this sometimes, but I just wanted to be a people pleaser and I wanted everyone to like me and I wanted to kind of be able to be friends with everyone and make everyone smile and invite, you know, like multitudes of people to the same event and hope that they can mingle together and stuff. And, you know, it didn't always work out. And sometimes that sort of idea of mingling with, you know, lots of different kinds of people could even backfire, because maybe I would see the good in one person, but know that there's something not quite right, but then try and include them with something and it would clash with another person who I'm closer to or something. You know, there's just a million ways it could have not worked out the best way. And something that I see, especially, you know, moving here was kind of a big fresh start and I had a clean slate and I was able to decide from the beginning pretty much what kind of friends I wanted to have around me. And I would say, even though living here, my close circle of people is definitely smaller than the circle I had in New Orleans, I would say that the bonds are pretty strong. And I can tell pretty quickly when I meet new people through music or through, you know, day jobs or whatever, that I can like people and I can enjoy their company, but there's something buried deep in my head that tells me, just if I know that I want them to be a part of my really my close circle of like consistent contact. And I don't know what that is. I don't know how that defines them or how that defines me or whatever, but I think that's something that for sure gets more clear as you get older. You know, you see the precious years of your life ahead of you. You see this, you know, we just talked about like taking on adulthood and, you know, potential for family or bigger job opportunities or something. And you see like the importance of having the right people around you when things go bad, especially, and when things go right, you want to have like the right people there to help that energy flow around you the way that you want it to, you know? And that's for sure something that I've become aware of.
Yeah, but I can completely refer. I always had this. I also wanted to be a, how did you call it, people pleaser? And I sometimes I still find this habit with me. But it's something you get more and more aware of, and that's not a bad thing, because you still want to please people, but people that also have an interest in pleasing you.
Yeah, that can also be the case for sure. I mean, maybe, yeah, you know, people pleasers meeting people pleasers. But yeah, I think this is an interesting thing for me now as I cross that, you know, I mean, it's later this year too. It's in November, and I'm also curious.
Maybe we can have a party then.
That's what I'm thinking about. That's what I was thinking about. How, you know, it's funny. Earlier this year, I had this big idea in my head of, you know, renting out this huge space, and I wanted to get like, or finding a space that had, kind of reminds me of an American skating rink. Uh-huh. That I used to go to as a teenager, that would have like, you know, a pinball machine, a pool table, air hockey, table tennis, kicker, like these varieties of small games and just like an open bar. I think that would be so much fun.
Oh, yes.
And I thought about that. And then, you know, when everything shut down, I was like, man. And I had so many friends. I had one friend who had a 30th when things were really bad, like in March. And I felt so bad for him because I thought, man, this is such a big birthday. And I mean, we tried to make it special, and we did like a, you know, from his front door kind of distanced, you know, singing for him and stuff. But it wasn't the same, of course. He wanted to have this huge event with lots of people. I'm curious too if I have to reevaluate how I do it, but that's definitely the least of the problems for sure.
Yeah, there might be bigger problems, but I think so. Anyway, we'll find a way to at some point celebrate your birthday in a proper way.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's not even on my thoughts right now at all. But this is really interesting, like how you view adulthood as a younger person, and like what fantasies get shattered of it as you get older, and what things you realize are just paperwork of people wanting money, in a sense.
Yeah, interesting topic. But you said that one thing is not on your thoughts at the moment. But what is it in your thoughts at the moment? What have you been thinking about recently?
Well, I guess actually the main thing is that, you know, at the end of this month on May 29th, so I recorded this new album, and I've talked about it on here before, but I have a new song called The Crooked Rail, and it's going to drop through Pop-Up Records everywhere, like for digital streaming. And actually, there's a link on my Instagram and Facebook and stuff, and you can actually go and pre-save the song to a playlist or on Apple Music or Deezer or whatever, and have it like pop up immediately on your playlist the day that it comes out. So I've just been thinking about the organize the artwork for the photo and communicate with the label about with the distributors about how we go about, you know, marketing everything and what the plan is and stuff. And we're finishing this music video. We shot a bunch of stuff. We actually had a lot of really, really cool submissions from friends and from strangers who sent in. We had asked that people film a green screen in their house or in their garden or something, like on a TV or on a laptop, they film it. And then we shot some footage already that we would put on that green screen. And right now what we're doing is like rendering all that footage so that we can put the stuff on the screens. And then we cut it together with this other footage that we shot for that video. So that will also come out on May 29th. So that's been the main thing the last couple of weeks or so.
I believe that.
Yeah, it's a lot of
and
things.
It's gonna, because I already know the song, and I can tell you it's gonna be great.
I got the Moritz Batscheider stamp of approval.
Yeah, maybe I can order some stickers.
Oh yeah,
Scooter Mo approved.
Yeah, maybe if we do an episode, I think we'll have an episode that week. Maybe we can even do like a little sneak peek or something.
Maybe we could do. I mean, May 29th is obviously on Friday, so we'll bring out an episode May 28th anyway.
Yeah.
It's next week, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So maybe we could...
Yeah, oh man, it's already next week. Yes, it's Friday next week. So maybe the next episode I could put like a...
A little surprise.
Yeah, maybe like a link, like a private link to a clip of it, or we could even just put a clip in the episode maybe at the end.
Yeah, we could definitely do that.
But
I guess that's something we should plan off mic.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get too obvious.
Yeah, it's like the behind the scenes. Did you tell me before that you have to go at 6?
No, at 7. So
I think, oh, I thought you wrote six.
If you feel the need to talk longer, we can do that.
I mean, normally I would love to, but I think I should also probably call it on this one.
Easy.
Is it cool for you?
Super cool for me.
I think we dived deep enough for people to have something to think about.
Is it cool for our listeners? That's one thing we could ask them. Maybe we'll get an answer.
What do you guys think? Oh, man, terrible language.
What is the ideal artsy-fartsy immigrant's backstage story length?
Oh, that would be a cool one. How about we try and get a prompt from people who listen? So if you really want to, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to hear this one, but if there's like a topic that inspired you from this episode or from any of the last ones that you want to dive deeper on, send us a message on Instagram or an email to podcast@m945.de. And as always, thank you so much for listening. And if you like this show, please go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. Please give us a good rating. It helps new listeners find us much easier, or a comment, or just a sharing, or even just telling a friend, because word of mouth is still a very powerful tool. So thank you very much.
Yes. Have a great evening.
All right.
Have a great holiday tomorrow.
All right, guys. Yes. And if you're in Germany, have a great holiday tomorrow. And all right, Mo, it was a pleasure.
As always, see you next week. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.